Right, hello everybody, and welcome to October's PBIC teleclass. And in today's gold teleclass, I'm going to be going behind the scenes and telling you all about what happened, the good, the bad, and the pugly at the recent Tour de Rescue event, which took place in early September. A month ago, as I live and breathe, as I sit here and record this audio, the Tour de Rescue happened a month ago. Can't believe it. So before we dive into that, a little bit of housekeeping. And I would like to welcome to the group the new members. Welcome aboard. Please make sure that you get the absolute most out of this group. And the way to do that is to get stuck in. Yeah, get stuck into the PBIC induction inside of the members area on the Grow Your Pet Business Fast website. Make sure you book a call with me. It doesn't matter where you are with your business, whether you're just starting, whether you're just thinking about starting a business, whether you're running your business, whether you are waiting for a dog training hall to become available so that you can start advertising your classes, whether you are waiting for whatever it is, don't wait, yeah? Book a call. You get 2 15-minute calls. We get a lot done in 15 minutes. I've just literally that minute finished a call with PBIC member who's done some fantastic things since she joined with her partner who they run the business as well. And yeah, actually, I'll come back to talk about that in a moment because that has a little bit of a bearing on the recent Tour de Rescue event and how that impacted my own workload. So yeah, get stuck in. Get stuck into the PBIC Gold Google group as well. Make sure you take part in the Achievement Friday thread. Those that post do the most. So be a poster. Doesn't matter if you haven't done very much. Doesn't matter if you've only nailed, you know, a group walk. It doesn't matter if you only had an amazing puppy class. You don't always have to be taking on 10 new clients or writing a book or creating a membership or launching a new arm of the business. It's about these small little steps, small little bits of progress all add up. And the previous call I just did today was with a platinum member, and her very words were, because I gave her a little bit of a bollocking for going quiet on me a little bit, but she's had some personal stuff with her family that she's had to sort out as well. And she said that sometimes when the calls come round and she's worried about, worried that she hasn't done enough compared to some other people in the group. And that is entirely the wrong attitude to have, because you're running your own race, okay? We're all running our own races, and you should be using other people's achievements to inspire and motivate you to do a little bit more or to continue doing what you're doing. You shouldn't be using them as any kind of yardstick to measure yourself against, all right? Because that's just, like, ridiculous, you know? And the funny thing was, that was one of the last things that we talked about on the call. And the list of things that she'd done in the last 4 or 5 months, it was like unbelievable. You know, the amount of things that we'd fixed in the business was incredible and a testament to her hard work, you know, and my ass kicking, but mainly her hard work. So yeah, make sure you post in the group. If you haven't worked through the induction yet, I would highly recommend you do that. The induction is incredibly useful, even if you've been in business for a long time, even if you've been in the PBIC for a long time and you've been to events before and you are thinking about starting a new business or whatever, the induction will take you on the kind of pathway to identifying whether there's a viable market there and then figuring out a way for you to position your new service, your new offering, in a way that is going to be different from the people who are already in that market. And it will show you how to premiumify that offering as well. Okay, so really useful stuff in there. The calls, obviously there's the vault. The PBIC teleclass vault is in there. There's a ton of previous teleclasses. There is the Walk Yourself Wealthy course. There's the Top Dollar Dog Trainer course. There's the Grow Your Business with Video course that Alex the Video Guy put together. And there's various other little bits of training and stuff in there that I put in as well, which all and any of which will be hugely useful to you if only you bothered your ass to use it, you know? Please don't be going, if you're in this group, one thing I'm going to say is this. If you're in this group, please do not be asking questions in other fucking groups that you can ask in this group. If you're in this group and you're paying a subscription and you're getting the stuff that I'm sending you through and you're still going to somebody else, another fucking pet business guru group, and asking questions, you're an idiot. You really are an idiot. And you should consider cancelling your subscription and going, you know, to and going all in with whoever it is that you obviously value their opinion more highly than mine, all right? There's nothing wrong with getting a second opinion, okay? But remember, the stuff that I'm teaching in here is not really taught anywhere else. That means it's not for everybody. You have to work hard. You have to push yourself out your comfort zone. You have to do different things. But this is where it's at. People are creating new businesses inside of the PPIC. They're creating businesses within businesses. There's collaborations going on now, especially between Diamond and Platinum members, and a project that I've got coming up in the next month or so will mean that there's going to be even more collaboration. With that, which I'm not going to say any more on that yet, apart from the fact that it's a relaunch of my Old Inner Circle. Oops, spilled the beans. But anyway, more on that another time. For now, I will just say that, yeah, please make the most of this group, get stuck in, and if you want more help and support and motivation and ideas and accountability from me and more of the ass kickers within the PBIC, then you know what to do. Please apply to join Diamond or Platinum. We've got a lot of exciting things happening, and if you really want to make the most of your business, like I said on the letter, I think, that came with this ledger, if you've been in business for like 3 or 4 years and you feel like you're stagnating a little bit, or you're full but you're not happy, or you're new and you're hungry and you really want to get on and you're keen but you don't know what to do, Platinum and Diamond are the places where you go to do that, okay? Not everybody needs to be in a group like that where there's more accountability and help and ass kicking, if you like, but you know, give it a go for 3 months is all I've got to say, because I haven't had anybody tell me that they regret being in there ever. So yeah, there's more help there if you need it. So just to before I'd sort of segue onto the Two at a Rescue, I want to mention something that she won't mind me mentioning her name, Anna, that I just spoke to on the phone, Anna Pollard, who is a groomer, and Anna has recently had some fantastic press coverage and did some amazing positioning stuff where she got featured the Rural Awards, and they got featured on Country File Live and all this kind of thing, and it was really brilliant stuff. And she said on the call that she kind of took her eye off the ball a little bit with what happened, with the actual nuts and bolts of her marketing, with basically all of the stuff that was working in her business to help her to grow it and to increase the prices, etc. All the things that she was doing, she kind of took her eye off the ball a little bit with that because of all of the sexy stuff that she was doing with the Country File. And I said to her the same thing I'm going to say to you guys now, which is, hey, don't worry about it. This happens from time to time, but the thing to do is get back on it now. And I gave her two or three things on the call. It was only a 15-minute call. Give her two or three things that will, I can almost guarantee it, will have an increase, will result in an uplift in business for her and get them back towards the figures that they were getting in August, which is when they thought they'd cracked it and stuff, you know. But marketing is you have to be consistent. You really can't afford to let it drop, you know, because there's always a section of your audience who will be tempted by bright, shiny objects if you aren't putting yourself in front of them all the time. You know, it doesn't matter what you're offering. But anyway, my response to her was, hey, don't worry about it. These things happen. I've had a similar thing happen to me lately too with that. And the Two at a Rescue was that example, because I've recently shared this with the Diamond members on alums call, but in 2017, I did my first boot camp, live events, both large and small boot camps and smaller seminars that I do around the UK. They're a big part of how I grow my business, how I sell places in the PBIC, how I sell coaching groups, how I sell places at my events, all that kind of thing. These are all a crucial part of my promotional activity. They're a key pillar in what I do. They're a key part of the offline marketing that I do, and as well as all of the online stuff that I do as well. So I did a boot camp in 2017, the first boot camp. 2018, I did two boot camps. I did a dog walkers one in May, and then I did a dog trainers one in October. And then this year, to switch it up a little bit again, we did an impact event, which was something a little bit different again. But we only did, obviously did one impact event. There's another impact happening in May 2020, and you can grab a ticket at growyourpetbusinessfast.com/impact2020, and you should grab a fucking ticket as well if you don't have one already. But the basically, I went from doing two events, which was manageable and enjoyable, and they went down fantastically well, to doing one event. So the second event that I did this year was the Tour de Rescue, which I wanted to do. It was something that I was passionate about, and it was something that I wanted to give up some time. It was something that I actually wanted to do earlier in this year, but I purposefully pushed it to the end of the year, to September, so that it didn't clash with Impact, so that I could give both events my full attention. And I did manage to do that, but what happened over the summer, I had a few weekends away. Me and Toby went away. Toby and Beth went away. We were busy, as we always are with dogs and stuff over the summer anyway, at Pack Towers. But the fact that I was away and enjoying a bit of downtime, if I'm honest, a bit of downtime, a few barbecues in the garden, that kind of thing, a bit of chilling out, the fact that I was doing that kind of thing, and when I wasn't doing that, I was either planning the Tour de Rescue, sorting out speakers, venues, support vehicles, all this kind of thing, or training for the fucking thing. So, you know, no small amount of training went into the Tour de Rescue event. I was out at least three times a week, two shorter rides, and then one big ride as well. And the big ride built up to being about 4 or 5 hours every time I was out, which again was manageable for me, and I did enjoy that too. But obviously being on the bike for 4 or 5 hours during the day means that you don't really have much energy to do anything else. So what with the planning and the downtime and the training, I didn't do much really from kind of mid-July until the Tour de Rescue was finished. And it was only when the Tour de Rescue was finished, or kind of as the Tour de Rescue was finishing really, where I thought to myself, oh, do you know what, Dom, you've kind of, well, you don't, first of all, you don't have, first of all, you've took your eye off the ball a little bit with regards to marketing your business, because where attention goes, energy flows, and my energy was flowing towards the Tour de Rescue event and away from pushing the PBIC, and the coaching groups within it, you know, my bread and butter side of my business, the stuff that it is, and to a lesser degree, Pack Leader Dog Adventures. But because of that, and because of the fact that I wasn't doing a second event of the year, so I didn't have something big to push that was to do with the business, there was like a little bit of hole in the promotional activity for the PBIC. Hence, me getting my head down now again, pushing the Pro Dog Walkers Academy. We'll be pushing some other things towards the end of the year as well. And I've even got a whole nother sort of arm of the business that I've been toying with and that I'm almost definitely going to be launching in the run-up to Christmas as well. So, yeah, basically, I could identify with what Anna was saying, because I also had taken my eye off the ball with regard to the day-to-day bread and butter of what brings in the money in my business. And we all can't afford to do that, you know? So if there was a downside to the Tour de Rescue, I would say probably that was it. Although it's a trade-off that I was more than happy to make because of the very nature of the event, you know? It was something that I wanted to do. It was something that I wanted to experience. It was, like I said, in all of the promotional stuff that I did for it, this was my way of giving something back to the dogs who have inspired me to start my business. And I wouldn't be here without the rescue dogs that I rescued, without Flo and especially Barry, and without the rescue experience that I had helping out with the dogs who were awaiting rehoming at Animal Crackers in Sunderland. So it was a trade-off that I was willing to make, and it was a trade-off that I was able to make too because of the diligent work, I suppose, that I've put into the building up of my business. You know, I have created a business where I am able to take a week off to do a charity event like that. And I certainly couldn't have said that when, you know, back in the day when I was just doing my dog walking business or whatever. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should want to have a business like that, but this is something that I've worked hard to get. And whatever your particular dreams are for things that you want to achieve in your business, well, they're very attainable too if you stick at this marketing stuff that we're teaching inside the PBIC. And a quick note about the Pro Dog Walkers Academy. Remember, guys, you can get full access to that and all of the bonuses too by using the code WORRYFREE, WRRYFREE, all one word, all uppercase, and you get it basically for half price, so it's 79 quid. Absolute steal. Dog walkers will get a lot out of it. It's essential, really, for dog walkers who don't know enough about dog training. You'll learn far more from going through the Pro Dog Walkers Academy than you would from going to, any course anywhere, really. Certainly far more practical stuff that you can immediately plug into your dog walking business. It'll be interesting for dog trainers just to get it too. We've had a couple of dog trainers actually buy it in the PBIC too, and yeah, you'll get a lot out of it. Just part of what I do is very much about simplifying things and making it easy, and as I talked about in last month's ledger, making it entertaining, you know. So you'll see, and this is not knocking anything that any of you guys are doing as well, because I know you all do fantastic work, but you'll see how I'm able to teach the dog walking and the dog training that I teach within the Pro Dog Walkers Academy. You'll see how I'm able to make it easy and entertaining, and hopefully it'll just kind of wash over you. And, you know, you should not look at this and think, well, he's just kind of simplifying it. Yeah, I am fucking simplifying it. I'm simplifying it for a reason, because that's what Joe Bloggs, Mr. and Mrs. Average Pet Dog Owner, that's what they're going to respond to and listen to and be motivated by and understand, you know, when it comes to their dogs as well. So something in it for dog walkers and something in it for dog trainers, and no doubt for the dog groomers and stuff too. Certainly the doggy daycare owners. So let's get into the Tour de Rescue event. And I have to say it was a truly life-changing experience for me. I do feel like I'm a lot richer person for doing the event. I learned a hell of a lot. I experienced a lot. I learned a lot about myself and what I'm capable of. I learned a lot about what is going on in the dog world. I think one of the biggest things that Alex the video guy asked me on a podcast, what was the best moment for me? And my reply was, when it was finished. I said, when it was finished was the moment that I was able to relax a little bit and think, fuck yeah, well, like, we did it, you know? Yeah, we didn't do everything right, and we'll talk about that in a moment, what didn't go right, but we didn't do everything right, but we did most of it right. And I was just pleased that it was kind of done, you know? But what really makes me really proud now looking back on it, was how I was able to pull together members of my community, members of my tribe, people who have had a big influence on my business, people whose businesses I've had a big influence on. And yeah, just, you know, at every step along the way of the Tour de Rescue, the 4 days of the Tour de Rescue, there was people there who I was like delighted to meet, you know, new friends, new contacts in the rescues, old friends who've been in my circle for a while, you know, speakers who came along to donate their time as part of the seminars that we did. I'm just being frank here with you, it gave me like a warm and fuzzy feeling to to know that I'd pulled all these people together to make this thing happen. And yeah, so pat on the back for Dominic. Don't often do that, but yeah, I was really, really delighted about that. And yeah, everything from kind of Alex the video guy, who's been there with me almost from the beginning of my journey into learning about information products and writing the books and becoming a coach and a mentor and speaking at seminars and creating products and all this kind of thing, for Alex to see, to be a part of that as well, and for him to record that and experience it with me was really special. For my dad to come along as well was also really special. And I've been promising, well, not out loud promising, but I've been saying to Beth for like a number of years, I'd love to take my dad to like the Ryder Cup or something like that. You know, I'd love to take my dad along to like the Ryder Cup for a weekend or for a day, and experience that with him, and for him to experience it as well. And not, doesn't have to be particularly the Ryder Cup, but something like that, something where we could say we've done this kind of thing together, you know, been to this kind of event together. And in a way, there's like not really anything stopping me from doing that anyway. Apart from, you know, just booking the fucking tickets and taking the time off. But it's just been kind of one of these things that I've been saying. And in the end, this turned out to be like our little Ryder Cup. Because, yeah, I mean, we did, you know, my dad's getting on a little bit now. He's getting a bit forgetful and stuff. And, but, you know, to have him there was... is a big thing. It was a big thing for me. It was a big thing for him as well, you know. And my mum said he was talking about it loads after the event, and even the week after, you know, when he was around my house with my mum, you know, helping out with some jobs and stuff, he was kind of, oh, you know, when's our next adventure? He said this, and you know, that was lovely, you know, for me to hear him say that, I guess. And so, you know, I think when you do something like this, there are lots of kind of moments that you experience that you don't give a lot of thought to at the time. Because obviously there was a few times during the tour when, like, maybe he was getting on my nerves for whatever reason. And no doubt I was getting on his nerves as well. And I was probably getting on Alexa Video Guy. As a matter of fact, I know I was getting on Alexa Video Guy's nerves. And I know he was probably getting on my nerves at the time. And him and Normzy were probably getting on each other's nerves because we were tired and fraught. And, you know, we didn't know where we were going or whatever. And you know, and things were going wrong. But, like, there was also, like, a lot of special moments as well along the way. And, yeah, so that was, like, for me to pull a lot of people together like that, was really satisfying, and my dad was one of those people as well. So yeah, it was really, really good. So yeah, the build-up kind of really started the week before. I must tell you this as well, I was incredibly nervous before it started. I was nervous, I was losing, I wasn't sleeping very well in the lead up to the event. Yeah, I was just generally a little bit more chewy. Chewy is a northern word meaning chewed and on edge, I guess. I was a little bit more chewy about that than I have been about almost anything that I've done before. I mean, the Impact event wasn't... The two boot camps I did last year, I kind of sailed through them and, you know, prepped really well for them, and they ran to absolute clockwork, both of them, and achieved everything that I wanted. The Impact event did a similar thing. It was on a slightly bigger scale. There was more moving parts to it, but again, that went really, really well, and I was fairly confident going into it. Because this was something new, something really brand new, I was nervous about it, you know. I was really nervous, and maybe it's unnecessarily so, but I was. I think, again, there was just so many things that kind of could have gone wrong with this event. Physically with me, mechanically with the bike or with the support vehicles and Alex, logistically with making sure that we met everybody on time. Go into a bit more detail in a moment about exactly what, you know, where a few of the hiccups happened on the way with that. But yeah, it was nervy, and with hindsight, I should have drafted in more people to be like a bit more of a support team for me, to help with everything, really, with the organizing, with the social media, just to share the plans with everyone, just so I could have had a bit more of a a check-in with people along the way, I guess, and just to kind of share the load a bit. And so it wasn't all on my shoulders, but it certainly, we could have made more of the event and made more, probably raised more money for sure, if I had a bigger kind of support team, you know. So yeah, definitely don't underestimate the power of the team that you create around yourselves. It's really crucial. And don't get me wrong, I had enough of a team, and the guys who organized the seminars, the hosts, big hat tip to you guys and anybody who came along to speak at the event as well. Huge thanks to you. Anybody who even contributed a blog or shared something on Facebook, whatever, you know, thanks so much for that. But I definitely could have done with a bigger support team around me. Just to make more of the event. And a lot of these things are just kind of learning points from the event, and we would do these things differently next time, obviously, if there is a next time. But yeah, so the event kind of the event really sort of kicked into gear the week before. I did a radio piece with Jane Middlemiss from Radio Newcastle, who came along, and we did a piece at Bryson's where we were starting the tour to rescue. That went out over 2 days actually as well, so that was really good. The rescue got kind of two bites of the cherry as regards the promotion. Then we had a number of newspaper and more radio lined up for the week of the tour to rescue as well, which all just contributed to more promotion for the rescues, more exposure for the rescues. And obviously on the back of that, I got more exposure from that too, you know, and so my credibility rises. You know, this isn't why I did it, but this is just a byproduct of what you do. You know, I've spoke about this in the ledger, which you should read very carefully. And when you think about planning your own charity event or whatever it is that you want to do, these are the knock-on effects, the ripples, I guess, that you benefit from, the waves that you benefit from, the waves that you create, you're able to ride from the initial sort of big promotional splash that you make initially for the rescues. So away it went. We had a bit of a blow early doors in that we had to cancel. Well, we haven't cancelled at all. We've postponed it. We had to postpone the first seminar evening, which was going to happen at Raven River in Morpeth. Rebecca Ashworth, good friend of mine, who is the organizer of the Northeast Dog Festival, and a little bit of a preview for you. I'm going to be interviewing Rebecca about the organizational challenges that she faces organizing the Northeast Dog Festival. That's going to be an upcoming teleclass, so keep tuned in for that one, because it'll be a belter, I think. So yeah, we had to cancel that seminar. Now that was mainly a clash of events. It was bad timing. The reason why we did the tour to rescue when we did it was mainly around Alex the Video Guy's availability. The fact that it was late summer, and I wanted to ride in nice weather, nice-ish weather anyway. And I don't mind rain, but I didn't want to be riding in the cold. So that was why it was September, Alex the Video Guy's availability. And that kind of meant that when I wanted to do the first leg in the north, Rebecca was the obvious choice to host the first seminar evening, the first fundraising evening. She's hosted me before a couple of times, so we have a good relationship and stuff. And as it happened, she was closed that week. She had nothing else on, because that was the week that followed the Northeast Dog Festival event, which happened on the Saturday before the tour to rescue. But because of the fact that she was just pushing the Northeast Dog Festival, quite rightly, meant that she wasn't able to push and promote the Tour to Rescue event. And so that clash meant that we basically didn't sell enough tickets to warrant doing the seminar. So we had to pull it. We pulled it last minute. We pulled it on the Sunday evening. And that was actually a huge kind of... It was two things. It was a double-edged sword. It was a huge blow in the sense that I was thinking, ah, fuck, like, you know, this thing hasn't even fucking started yet, and already we're having to cancel stuff, and already things have gone wrong. That is one way to look at it. And then almost immediately, as Dom does, because I try and be enthusiastic and make the best of every situation. I also kind of thought, you know what, like, fuck it, like, if something's gone wrong, it isn't going to be the perfect event that I knew it wasn't going to be anyway, but it isn't going to be the perfect event, and therefore I can kind of relax a little bit now. And you know what? I did relax. I had a whiskey, I think, with Beth. We didn't have our usual carafe of Merlot that we sometimes partake of on a Sunday evening. But I had a little whiskey and I kind of relaxed and I slept better than I had done for probably the previous 2 weeks. Woke up bright and breezy on the morning and I was like, you know what? Let's just make the most of today. We had a full day of cycling and we had 3 rescues that we were visiting that day. So, and it was kind of an opportunity to get everything right as we could do, and set a bit of a, sort of create a bit of a template almost for what we were going to do in each of the following rescues that we were going to visit over the next 4 days, because the Tuesday was going to be a really, really busy day. And a Tuesday proved to be a very, very busy day. The Monday, we got there bright and breezy. Alex, the video guy, was there, as he always is, bang on time. I went and picked my dad up, stowed the bike in the van. The van was all packed anyway with books and bottles of Lucozade, packets of Jelly Babies, and the bike, and a spare change of clothes, and some T-shirts and buttons, which we gave away as well along the way. So yeah, we arrived at Bryson's bright and breezy, and we met Angela there. The previous week when I'd been there with Radio Newcastle, we had met Tracy, who was the centre manager. But on this particular day, Tracy was away, unfortunately, so Angela was the one who showed us around. And hopefully you'll have seen already the Tour de Rescue first video that Alex has put out. Went out the previous week, but she gave us a fantastic insight into what goes on in the rescue, how the rescue runs, how it raises its money, the kind of dogs that they have in there, why people are giving up dogs, etc., etc. And just to give you a bit more of an insight into this, so one of the things that the main thing that I wanted to create from the Tour de Rescue event was content. Not content particularly for me. Again, I knew I would get content created as a byproduct of that. But I wanted to give these rescues an opportunity to tell their story. I wanted them to tell me, and therefore the wider public, why people should be considering a rescue. Why people should support their local rescue, of which there are almost a couple in every single town or city all over the UK, and probably the wider world as well. Certainly the Western world anyway. But and just to make them aware that these local rescues exist, you know, these rescues are on there. And I wanted to give them a pristine video, if you like, you know, an advert for their rescue. And so that's what we've done. So these are now going out as pieces of content. I'll probably talk about the content later on. But these would go out as pieces of content. And there would be a piece of content that the rescue could use on their website, on their social media. They can chop it up and use it however they want to. And then we can use it as well to promote the Tour de Rescue in general, you know. Certainly the first one, we managed to do that. We really managed to tell the story, and I was delighted about that. So it wasn't just about like raising cash. Raising the cash was important, but it was more about raising awareness and giving them the tools to raise awareness for that. And yeah, so we had a tremendous first visit to the rescue, got everything wrapped up. Alex got plenty of B-roll that he was after. We met some of the dogs, we met some of the volunteers, we met people dropping blankets and stuff off. It was like the dream visit, really, to the rescue. Then we started to put together the bike. So Alex down tools with the camera, and I started to put together the bike, and Alex was going to get a nice picture of me driving off, and then he was going to meet me at various intervals on the way up to Annick, which was the next stop. So for the Monday, for the first day of the event, we would go to Alex's, we would go to Bryson's first, we would start there, and then I would essentially cycle 50 miles up the road to Annick, where we would meet Alex's Animals and Shack Sanctuary. So we arrived at Bryson's, did the business, and then I was like, right, this is it now. a big box ticked, now let's put the bike together and let's head off. And quickly realized that I thought I'd lost it, but now I see that I had actually fucking left it on the floor in my yard, in the courtyard, that I had left the fucking quick release bolt at home. So I didn't have a quick release bolt. I had a spare quick release bolt, but that was for the back wheel, which is obviously a different size. So we had to put the bike apart again, put it back in the car, drive down to Team Valley, to a place called Team Cycles in Team Valley, an industrial estate down there, go and buy another one, and then put the bike together and then set off. So already we were like 25 minutes behind schedule. Because we were setting off from a different... Because I was setting off from a different location to Bryson's, even though it was only like maybe 2 or 3 miles away, it meant that I had a different route to go on that would take me up to Alnwick. Now, in a way, that was a better route because I was going to have to cycle through the cycle tunnel of the Tyne Tunnel originally. But this way meant that I was able to go across through the quayside of Newcastle, past the Sage, over the Millennium Bridge, the blinking eye, I don't know if anybody's seen that, and then along the track to kind of North Shields, and then up the coast. So that was a good thing. That was you know, we were a little bit behind schedule, but it was still good. The bad thing was I didn't have enough charge on my phone to communicate my location to Alex. So Alex's plan was for me to kind of turn on... whatever it was, like share my location on Google Maps. But my phone, by the time we set off from Team Valley, my phone was on like 35%. And I didn't have a charger because my phone had recently fucked up the end of it. So it wouldn't charge with a charger in the button. It would only charge in a charging pad. And obviously that's great when you're charging it up at home overnight in my kitchen. Not so good when you want to charge a bike on the... charge it when you're on the bike on the move. So I had to kind of say to Alex, look, I'll meet you here. So the first location that we had to meet was like, he texted me to say, I'll meet you here, and I said okay. And then the next time I texted him, I was like, where were you? And he said, oh, we're nearly there. Basically I'd somehow managed to beat him to the location. So and then I was traveling on, because obviously I couldn't afford to like hang around and wait. So I'm driving off to the next stop-off point. We did manage to coordinate our movements to get some footage at the next passing point, if you like. And then we did another little meetup too, where Alex got a good little bit of drone footage. That was pretty cool. We also... and then we stopped for, I think we stopped for a sandwich. Yeah, we stopped to have a sandwich together in Alnwick, actually, as well. And then we managed to sort of down the bike, put the bike away, and then drive to Alexa's, where we were probably about an hour late for the meeting at Alexa's. Met the guys from Alexa's Animals, did another really good interview with those guys there, got some class footage that went out last night. Then we drove immediately to Shack Sanctuary. This was incredibly interesting. This guy, Steve Wiley, runs this place called Shack Sanctuary. I would highly recommend that you check out the interview that I did with Steve, because he essentially deals with dogs who are on death row. He gets phone calls from dogs who are literally about to be put to sleep. There's some unbelievably emotional stories about dogs that Steve's helped. Namely, little Mona was one of them, who was a staffie who Steve had looked after for 10 years at Shack. She was so fearful when she arrived at Shack that she was, it just basically took him that long to rehabilitate her. This guy's pretty much a self-taught dog trainer. And the happy ending with Mona was that she now, she's got a family. Steve gets pictures of her out at the pub with our new owners, you know, and it was just so uplifting and heartwarming to hear these happy endings, you know, that because obviously there were a lot of sad stories as well along the way, people, you know, giving up dogs who, the usual stories really of dog, you know, dogs getting given up at like 7, 8, 9 months old, same time as what we got Derek really. So then we finished at Shack's about maybe 6:30, got home for about 7:30. In a way, cancelling that first seminar Although, you know, if we'd had to do it, we would have just done it and it would have been fine and brilliant. But cancel it turned out to be quite a good thing because that enabled us to at least have a fairly half-decent night's sleep at home. So Alex and Gnomesy went back home. I dropped my dad off back at home and then I came back and saw Beth and the kids and the dogs for a night, had a bit of supper and... you know, I was able to have a fairly decent night's sleep. Didn't manage to do a lot on social, and I'll talk about that another time. Didn't manage to get an email out, but managed to have a good night's sleep, which I think was really needed given what was to follow for the next for the next 3 days, really. So, yeah, the next morning we were up bright and early. Just to give you a little rundown about the day then. So on the Tuesday, I had to pick my dad up at like just after 7, I think. It might have been even earlier than that. Yeah, just after 7. It must have been 10 to 7, quarter to 7, I picked him up. So I was out the door at like 6:30, picked him up at 6:45. We drove down to the East Coast to a near a rescue called Hope Animal Shelter. And I'll talk about the individual rescues that we met along the way in a moment. But we were supposed to be meeting Radio Teesside there to do an interview, but they had fucked up and they had ended up going to Dogwood, which was Katie's place, which they shouldn't have been at. They should have come to our place. It wasn't Katie's fault at all. It was completely Radio Teesside's fault. So they went to the wrong place, so we didn't manage to do an interview with them, but I did manage to do a follow-up with Radio Newcastle. So I did a follow-up interview with Lisa Shaw from Radio Newcastle, and that went really well, which again gave some good exposure to the rescues. I did a we did the interview with Cliff at Hope Animal Shelter. Then I hopped on the bike. Jesus, there were some hills over there, I tell you. Hopped on the bike. We ended up heading to the wrong location then, because we basically this was a big failing of mine. I didn't get or double check the addresses enough of the places that we're visiting. Nobody did, but it was obviously ultimately my responsibility, and I didn't do a good enough job of checking the locations. And a couple of things: some of the rescues had their location as not the place where they had the actual rescue, and there were a number of reasons for that. So Steve Wiley from Shack, his location for Shack was actually an address in Annick. And that's where we thought we were going to meet him. Turns out the address was somewhere completely different. It was actually near Alexa's, but a little way outside of Annick. And the reason for that was because Steve didn't want to publicise where the rescue was, because he didn't want people just dumping dogs on the doorstep. You know, that was the reason. In the case of Maxie's mates in Teesside, their address was the charity shop where they obviously raise funds and stuff, you know, and they sell shit to raise money. But that was nowhere near where that was Save Our Strays, sorry. That Save Our Strays charity shop was nowhere near where Save Our Strays rescue was. So we ended up heading the wrong direction. Then we ended up finding the correct postcode eventually. Now imagine as well, once I've ridden for like, I mean, it's annoying enough for Alex and my dad to head to the wrong direction and waste time. Imagine what it's like for me to ride for maybe half an hour up and down hills in the wrong direction, only to have to turn around and go the other way. Yeah, I wasn't so pissed off then, but like as the day wore on, you know, it was starting to tell a little bit. So we headed for the correct postcode, but the postcode in and of itself isn't enough information, because like when you get given my postcode for where I live, sometimes it takes you like along the road from where I am, but you're just kind of along the road. Well, if I'm heading for a postcode for a rescue which is on a farm somewhere, if I just head for the postcode where the postcode tells me to go, that could actually be, and was in this instance, on like the other side of an enormous hill, like on the other side of the valley to where the actual rescue was. So twice we ended up going in the wrong direction. In the end, I ended up having to phone and telling Alex to, and my dad to come and get me, we had to put the bike down and quickly drive to the place. Then I'll put the bike back up again and drive, cycle to the next location. Then we ended up cycling to the next place, but basically we were running out of time. We were really running out of time. And so to meet the last people we were meeting, the Edward Foundation, guys were meeting me. They brought like 5 or 6 bulldogs along. You've probably seen the picture from the Edward Foundation, who are a breed specific rescue who just deal with bulldogs. They were meeting me at a cafe in Stockton. They'd already been there for an hour and I was still late. So we basically had to put the bike down, get in the car, drive there as well. Not because like I was too tired, or it was purely because we basically scheduled too much stuff in for the day, you know. And then I got back on the bike again and did like the last 10 miles to Bishopton, which is where we were hosting. Katie was hosting the first evening of seminars. So this is kind of that. So that's like a little overview of day two. That's without telling you about the rescues, you know. So you can see how I was kind of pleased that we had a good night's sleep on the Monday, because the Tuesday was fucking bedlam. Now, it was brilliant, and again, we managed to capture all of the stories at the rescues, and everybody, they all got a good bit of exposure, and they all got some good stuff that we'll put into the video for them, which will go out over the coming weeks. But yeah, the whole day was too much. We had scheduled basically too much stuff in for me to be able to cycle everywhere and get the footage that we wanted. And also like the prep time as well. So something that we didn't really take into account was every time we turn up somewhere at a rescue, even when we were late, it takes Alex, the video guy, like 10 minutes to set up, you know. Obviously he has to set up the camera. He has to get everybody mic'd up, because we want to make sure that we're getting good audio as well. So we want to make sure all these things had to happen to get the amazing content that we wanted to get. This all takes time, you know. So again, some of it's just like a learning curve, but certainly Tuesday, with regards to logistics and that kind of thing, Tuesday was like a bit of a shit show, really. And I had to kind of hold my hands up that and say, hey, you know, my bad, I could have done this a lot better. And again, some of this is just kind of my attention to detail traits. But you know, hey, you can't be good at everything, guys. You can't pull off a tour de rescue and be good at the small stuff as well. The key for me, as I said at the start, is going to be in getting more of a team involved, so that these other people who are good at that kind of thing can kind of double check everything and make sure that it all kind of runs a lot more swimmingly. But anyway, the Tuesday night seminar was like an unbelievable success. And this was one of Alex the video, well, one of my highlights, definitely, but one of Alex the video guy's highlights that he mentioned on the podcast the other day was when we arrived at the pub and we had a really long day and they served some super food. We had a really nice pub tea. And then Alex the video guy got set up, and you know, when the dog trainers started turning up, Katie was already there, Adam had travelled up, my old friend David Davies were there. You know, that was like a beautiful moment for me as well, to be able to share this tour de rescue with him, the guy who inspired me to become a dog trainer, you know, the guy who got his dog Hamish, who he was demonstrating with at the John Rogerson course that I went on where I first met him. He got him from Bryson's in Gateshead, which is where we started the tour of the rescue the day before, you know, so that kind of thing. And then the other trainers who were there as well, Tim came down, Katie spoke a little bit too. And yeah, this whole Alex video guy said it was just a bit like, yes, you know, like, yes, this room is full. It was a great venue. And yeah, and then we sold out of raffle tickets and stuff. And yeah, it was tremendous, you know. It was a tremendous way to finish that day. That wasn't the end of the day. So at the end of that day, we had to obviously down tools. Then we had to drive to, wasn't Chester, was it? Chesterfield. There. Then we had to drive to Chesterfield. So the next day we were starting in the Peak District, We decided in the pre-planning for the event, me and Alex both decided that it would be better, no matter how tired we were, it would be better to drive to the next place where we were going the next day so that we were there. You know, we didn't want to risk being late, basically. You know, it's far better to sort of get there, even if it was in the early hours of the morning, it's far better to get there, have whatever sleep you're going to have, and then know that you're there the next day, you know, rather than worrying about having to travel and various things happening. Certainly that was the way we chose to approach it anyway, and I think that was the right decision to make. This obviously meant that when the event finished, we had to drive to Chesterfield, which was about 2 hours away, actually. So we probably got there about half 11, kicking on for 12 o'clock, just at a little travel lodge. The reason why we stayed at Chesterfield and not the next place down was because I was doing an interview with Peak FM the next day, and that turned out to be the right decision, and the travel lodge were fine. We literally breezed in compared to the next day, fucking hell. We literally breezed in and, you know, picked up a key, checked in, and like went to bed. And I'm sure Alex, a video guy, he had to, they had to put everything on charge. You know, Alex and Normsy have to make sure that everything's on charge the next day. Alex likes to dump all of the footage that he's taken that day onto the laptop and back it up so that he knows that he's got everything. You know, this is why Alex is so in demand, why he's so fucking brilliant at what he does. It's not just about the videos, it's about everything else that he does as well. So yeah, imagine that's like an overview of day two. Yes, remember back to what I said about getting up at 6:30 in the morning, picking my dad up, then driving down. And, you know, being, and the cycling, and being, you know, trying to be really chipper for the interviews that I was doing as well. As we found out when we were doing the interviews, you know, some of the rescues, like, they really wanted to show off, like, what they had, what they were doing. Naturally so, you know. Now, for some of them, that just meant telling a story, you know, or getting a dog out, whatever. Some of them, like Maxie's mates, who were the third stop on the Tuesday, they had, like, they'd just basically taken over this huge venue. And they had, like, a number of different dogs in. They had different kinds of dogs, different levels of difficulty. But they wanted to show off some of the fundraising stuff that they were doing too. And so it was like, so it turned into, it wasn't just like a quick 15-minute interview that we thought. It turned into more like a half an hour one, you know? And then Alex wanted to get a little bit of drone footage as well of me driving off, because it was quite a nice setting. So like everything that went into place to get, looking back on it now, I can't fucking believe that we did it. I shouldn't really have any complaints about anything that happened at all. And I don't really have any complaints, but just this is like the, I think, and this is something that I've recently spoken to one of my private coaching clients about an event that she's planning for next year, is like, you need to have some contingency stuff in place for things going wrong, things taking longer than they're going to take. And kind of a huge plus point from the tour to rescue was that, like, nothing went wrong. Logistically, a few things went wrong that I have to hold my hand up and say I didn't do well enough. But technically, and luckily, hardly anything, you know, I didn't get any injuries. I never fell off the bike. I never snapped a chain. Alex or my dad never had any flat tires or anything like that. On that note, there was, talking about logistics, on day one, we were driving through a village, and I drove into this village, and I noticed that there was a load of traffic all built up, and there was some blue flashy lights. And I was thinking, oh, fucking hell, like, they've had an accident here. And that was the first thing that I thought. As it happened, they were thinking exactly the same thing. When they drove in, they thought, oh, fucking hell, he's fell off the bike. And it turned out, as you drove into this sort of crossing, if you like, where the village was, there was a big pub on the right hand side, and as I drove in, I was thinking, oh, they've crashed. They were sitting in the pub car park thinking, oh, fucking hell, he's crashed. And it turned, that was where the Tour of Britain was coming through. So the Tour of Britain was coming south as we were going north, and we were like stuck. We were like completely stuck for that time. But yeah, that was just like a little example of like logistically how things went wrong and things that we hadn't taken into account, but nothing actually went wrong with the bike or anything like that. And so, you know, And it could have, and that would have put a real kind of spanner in the works, you know. So loads of things did go right, and we were very lucky in many, many ways. But again, if I had a bigger support team, then I think we could have made a lot better use of the social media and stuff. And I think as it's coming up to 55 minutes now for this call, I think what I'll actually do is I'll do this as a two-parter. So we'll have a two-parter. There'll be a second CD with the second part of this Tour de Rescue rundown. And I'll talk about in a bit more detail about what happened on day two and then day three and four, and then give you a bit of an overview into kind of what the legacy of the event's going to be and more of the things that we could have done right that would have helped raise more money and stuff. So for me, for now, guys, I'm going to say bye-bye, and I'll see you on disc two.